الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد.
As I said, inshallah, in this part of the session, we'll try to have a different format and look at the concept of understanding God that is looking at trying to understand the du'as, some of the du'as that we have from the Ahlul Bayt. The one that I've chosen is Du'a Abi Hamza Al-Umayyah. This du'a is one that has been introduced by Imam As-Sajjad, Salamullah Alayhi. In the context of the holy month of Ramadan. First of all, we know Imam As-Sajjad salamullah alayhi is known as the worshipper. Something that each of the Ahlul Bayt is known for something special. They all worshipped, they all sacrificed, they were all generous. They all had the good traits. But each of them manifested one of these traits more than others, and Imam As-Sajjad is known as the Sajjad, Zaynul Abidin. He was known for his worships. There's a whole collection called Sahifa Sajjadiyya, which is a collection of the supplications that we have from this great Imam of ours. Abu Hamza Al-Thumani is a very close companion of Imam As-Sajjad, and also he's a companion of Imam Al-Baqir, the son of Imam As-Sajjad. We find through the different narrations, there's a special connection between Abu Hamza Al-Thumani and the Imam, and therefore what he gets, the supplication that we have from him, is different than many of the other supplications. The other thing to remember before getting into the actual du'a is that this du'a has been introduced for us to do in the holy month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we're actually able to do that. The holy month of Ramadan, which is in a couple or a few months, inshallah, if we get to, if Allah allows us to live that long, it's a month of du'a. It's a month of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's special salat, prayers, there's a lot of special du'a that we need to benefit from. This du'a, because it is in the context of the holy month of Ramadan, and not just any time during the month of Ramadan, it's been mentioned specifically for the time of Sahar, before Fajr time. That time is a golden time that is constantly passing by us and we are neglecting it and not recognizing the importance of it. Sahar is the Holy Quran mentions this a few times. Okay, when it wants to give the description of true believers, it says وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, those who are asking forgiveness and istighfar in the time of Sahar. It's a very important time during every day, and then add to that that this is in the month of Ramadan. So this is going to be a very, very special du'a. One other introductory point that I need to mention is many of our scholars have said, and that's why I've done what I have done, that the du'as are not just something to read. Well, there's two points. I'll take it in two steps here. First of all, a lot of times, our recitation of du'a is just reading it. إِلَهِ لَا تُعَذِّبْنِي بَعُقُوبَتِكَ. Nice voice, and just, take it all the way to the end. End of story, we get up and leave. Okay. This is not the purpose of du'a. These du'a, especially. It is supposed to be something to think on, understand, contemplate on, and get that deep knowledge that has been given to us, which takes me to the second point. These scholars have said, these are lessons. Okay, these du'as, each and every one of them is a lesson, or actually multitudes of lessons, not just one. Okay. So I thought it's a good idea, and it's something that I feel is lacking, to look at the relationship that we need to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we should think of Him, the way we should address Him, the way we should think of ourselves, and what we need to realize about our own selves. The best way to find that is dua. This specific one I think is a very good one. Lastly, these du'as are so deep that as we have in Du'a al-Samad from Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi, that these names of Allah la ya'lamu tafsiraha ghayruk, no one but Allah actually understands those and realizes the depths of those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one but the Ahlul Bayt knows the depths of what they have said. So the deeper you go, there's still more to learn. Okay. What we're going to be discussing is my very limited understanding of this dua, which hadhihi bidha'atun, this is the little amount that we can understand. So there's probably, and I'm sure, there's much, much deeper understandings. So open your eyes, try to think, try to read, try to understand, ask others so we can benefit from it. So this is what we're going to be doing, inshaAllah. Recite the salawat. Each of the du'as starts in a very special way for the reason that the dua is made, for the special purpose of that particular dua. This dua in the time of Sahab, which is supposed to be a very private time for only the special worshippers, the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each of them in their own little way, privately talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it starts with the word ilahi. Many of the du'a, the du'a kumay for example, starts with Allahumma. Allahumma, when you're calling Allah, use the word Allahumma, you're calling upon Him. It's like saying Ya Allah, it's a different form of that. Allahumma, you're addressing Him, you're saying Allahumma, O God. Ilahi has a more personal touch to it. Ilah means the person. We had this, I think, in the session before Dhuhr time. Ilah means the person I worship and I consider worthy of worship. This is what ilah means. That ya at the end is what makes it personal. Addressing to Ilahi, O one who I see worthy of worship, O one that I want to worship and I am worshiping. The Urafa would spend probably hours just contemplating on this one phrase, okay? Thinking of that, who you're talking to, and addressing him in this very way, Ilahi. This is something to think about. And the first, it starts with a request. Okay, when you look at, like, for example, I'll use dua kumay because we're more familiar with that. That one starts with Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay. I ask you by the mercy that encompasses everything and everyone. You don't ask what you want right at the beginning. You're asking him by his attributes first. Rahma, Qudra, so on and so forth. Nur. And then it starts asking, the Imam starts asking. This one begins with a dua, a request. But look at the request. This is the month of Ramadan that the dua is made for. It says, Ilahi la tu'addibni bi'uqubatik. Oh my Lord, oh the person that I worship, do not try to train me, تؤدبني comes from adab, training somebody, giving them the etiquettes of how to behave. This is called ta'dib. Okay, if a child makes a mistake, when they want to teach him that that is wrong, a lot of the, especially back in the old days, there was this concept of using some form of inflicting pain in some way. Okay. This is how you would train a child that doesn't understand. Okay. He says, "O Allah, when you want to train me, لَا تُعَدِّدْنِي بِعُقُوبَتِكَ, don't train me with your عُقُوبَة, with your punishment." We can take read between the lines here a little bit. The Imam is considering himself someone that is disrespectful to the Lord, someone that is a wrongdoer, someone that has committed sins. And he is coming to the one that he has disrespected and disobeyed. This is the type of approach. And he says, That's one point to consider. And then, although he considers himself worthy of this uquba, he requests that you don't train me with that. I've done something wrong. You need to correct me. Don't correct me with that uquba. Okay. It's coming from someone that has this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he can't take the one he loves, treat him in a harsh way. This is the type of language that is being used. A child, if you could think of a child, that the relationship between a mother and the child, okay? When the child loves the mother, there's a very close connection between the child and the mother. Children don't like it when their parents are upset at them. Okay. So if the child is, you know, they do something wrong, once the parents start looking angry and they want to inflict, maybe inflict pain on them, they look angry. Okay. The child doesn't like that. When there is that close relationship, this is the way you feel. The Imam is looking at it and addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. There's so much love internally that he says, I do deserve the punishment, but don't correct me with your punishment. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that you dislike me. Then he says, وَلَا تَنْكُرْ بِي فِي حِلْيَتِكَ. There's a very frightening concept called the makr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find it in two contexts. One context that we find it in the Holy Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Holy Prophet in regards to the kuffar who are plotting against the Holy Prophet and Muslims. وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot, and Allah plots, and Allah is the best of plotters. That is a concept of plotting. Plotting means that you have this hidden plan that you're accomplishing against somebody without them realizing. This is what makr is. So what they used to do, the kuffar, they have plots, obviously, against the Holy Prophet and the Muslims. They were behind the scenes plotting and carrying out their missions, and the Muslims wouldn't realize. Allah would tell the Prophet, you know, this is what they're doing, but at the apparent level, people wouldn't understand what they're doing. This is called makr. So they would have their plots. Allah says, I have my plots, and I'm the best of plotters. Okay? And it's very interesting, I don't want to focus on this aspect too much, that the plot of Allah uses the plot of kufa against themselves. There's plenty of examples for this, I don't want to get into that. And by the way, we see this idea of tawheed fil rububiyyah that we're talking about right here, okay, in this example that I said, using what the kuffar are doing. They're doing it for their own intention. And it's their thing. Okay, they're doing it. At the same time, it's God's will, but what God has intended from it is something completely different than what the kuffar had intended from it. The result of what God is doing is very different. That's something to ponder upon. But there's another one. Okay, the kuffar obviously don't believe in God, so they're not afraid of this form of makr. But there's another one we find in some of the du'as. There is one small du'a that we have in, I think it's in Kafi, where the imam tells us if we want to wake up for the night prayers, there's this very small du'a before one goes to sleep. If I can get the wording right, he says, Allahumma لا تؤمني مكرك. It starts with this and continues. It's just a few phrases. If I remember, I'll mention the rest of it. It starts with this. اللهم لا تؤمني مكرك. Oh Allah, don't make me feel immune to your makr. That's one of the worst things anyone would want to do. It goes along the concept of guidance and misleading, okay? And guiding, leading in the wrong direction. When we do these sins, we commit the sins, every step we make will move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that much guidance is taken away from us. And it's a gradual process that we don't realize. If God helps us after a while that we've engaged in that, and we remember, wait a second, I used to be able to do this dua, I'm not able to do that. I used to be able to concentrate a little more than what I can right now, and I'm not able to do that. I used to be a better parent, a better brother, a better sister. Things have changed. Okay. If God helps me to realize, like on a trip of Hajj or Ziyarah, come to realize a lot of things have changed about me. But this was a gradual process that I didn't realize. Okay. This is the makr. That after a while, I don't enjoy dua anymore. I don't enjoy talking about religion. Okay. There's one time that I'm trying to do it, I'm not able, alright, it slips. If I allow that slipping to happen and go on for a while, gradually what ends up happening is that I'm not even interested anymore. This is what the imam is afraid of. Because when this happens, you don't notice it. You've moved away. You don't even love God anymore. So out of fear of that, the imam, the second request he makes is, وَلَا تَنْكُرْ مِي فِي حِينَتِكَ. Do not put me through this makr. If I do something, this is one thing that a lot of the ulama and the urafa would say, that if some time would elapse and they wouldn't feel any hardship, there's no illness coming, the money is coming in, the income is coming in, everything is working smoothly, they would start feeling afraid that maybe God has left me to myself. Okay. He's just forgotten you. You've done so much wrong, I'm not even going to care about you. I'm not going to care about you. So the Imam says, لَا تَنْكُرْنِي فِي حِينَتِكَ. I don't want that to happen. If I do something wrong, do correct me. But at the same time, at the beginning, the Imam said, don't correct me with your punishment. The next passage of the dua says, the Imam says, Allah, مِنْ أَيْنَلِيَ الْخَيْرُ يَا وَلَا يُوجَدْ إِلْعَى مِنْ عَدِّكْ. And where am I going to have any good, O my Lord? وَلَا يُوجَدْ إِلَّا مِنْ عَدِّكْ. And no one can receive any good except from you. If you turn me away from your door, where else do I have to go? Can anybody else benefit? The wording is just, as I said, it's like you're having a private talk. You're talking to someone that is loved And considering someone, considering yourself, or looking at myself, someone that doesn't deserve anything good, and I deserve all the punishments in the world, okay. But at the same time, I'm begging, like, if you don't give, I don't deserve it, but if you don't give it to me, where am I going to get it from? Is there any other source that I can get it from? وَمِنْ أَيْنَ لِيَ النَّجَاةُ وَلَا تُسْتَطَاعُ إِلَّا بِكَ. And where can I have salvation from? And it is impossible to have except with your help. How can I achieve, how can I accomplish the proximity? How can I accomplish the perfection? It's impossible without you helping. As you can see, throughout all of the du'as, the theme that you find in every single request, okay, in everything, is tawheed. You find a trace of tawheed in every single word of it. Okay. This passage is also the same. Continuing with that, saying, مِنْ أَيْنَ لِيَ الْخَيْرِ وَلَا يُوجَدْ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَمِنْ أَيْنَ لِيَ النَّجَاةَ وَلَا تُسْتَطَاعُ إِلَّا بِكَ. And he goes on, he says, أحسن استغنى عن عونك ورحمتك وللذي أساء واجترأ عليك ولم يرضك خرج عن قدرتك. Neither the one who is doing good has become needless of you and your help and your blessing. In other words, if I'm doing good, it's with your help, and I still need your help to continue that good. And this is tawheed that we're talking about in af'al, in takween. وَلَلَّذِي أَسَاءَ وَاجْتَرَأَ عَلَيْكَ. And neither is the person who has done wrong, وَاجْتَرَأَ عَلَيْكَ, and who has been brave against you. He's had the audacity to disrespect you. وَلَمْ يُرْضِكَ, and has not satisfied you. خَرَجَ عَنْ قُدْرَكَ. That person has also not left your power. No, they're under your control as well. And at this point, this phrase is repeated. It says, the Imam said this until his, as much breath he had, he continued this. يَا رَبِّ, يَا رَبِّ, يَا رَبِّ. Ya Rabbi, okay, we have the word Rab. Okay, when you say Ya Rabbi, it means my Lord. Okay, doesn't mean O Lord, O my Lord. Ya Rabbi. If you pay attention to this language, you look at this Ya Rabbi. You see in the document also it is repeated. Three times in three different parts of the du'a. And as you can see it here, the Imam doesn't say just three times. It's written three times, but then it says that the Imam went on saying until he was out of breath. There's a piece in du'a al-Kumayl, I think I'll use that to try to understand this. One part of the du'a, the Imam says that how can the, you know, a few parts of the document, the Imam has this idea of someone, of a servant being in hellfire. And him talking to Allah, or saying that how could this person remain in hellfire and he is doing this or the other, or he's like this or the other. It's mentioned in a few different parts of the du'a. One of them, the Imam says this, that, forget the first part, but it deals with punishment, that how could the servant be, if anyone could remember, I'll try to bring it. I think it's too nice for me to skip this. Let me find it. Recite a salawat, please. Thank you. It starts with no. It start, the end is this. وَوَيُنَادِيكَ يَا رَبَّ. Yeah, and كيف
يحرقه لهابها وأنت تعلم ضعفه كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه
كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وهو يناديك يا رب. I think it's that. And كيف something puts. I wish I could find it. Unfortunately, for some reason, I'm not seeing it here. I don't know what the order of this, how this is, you know, word, I don't see it. Anyway, let's say it's the following, that كَيْفَ يَشْتَمِدُ عَلَيْهِ زَفِيرُهُ وَيُنَادِيكَ يَا رَبَّهُ. I want to talk about the last bit of it. How can he be in hellfire? Let's give a very paraphrased version of that. How can he be in hellfire? وَيُنَادِيكَ يَا رَبَّهُ. I can't accept that someone that is calling you his Lord, calling you and considering you the person that is taking care of him, that you let him burn in hellfire. Ya Rabbi means this, that I consider you someone that is, all my affairs are to you. You're, everything I have is yours, and you are my master, my Rab, and you are taking care of me. It's a very personal touch that it gives it. That I don't feel like I'm able to express that in words, but it's a very nice personal touch that is given when it says, my Lord, not just, oh Lord, no, oh my Lord. The next passage of the dua, by the way, what's, I don't have the time, what's the time? Okay. I think we'll go for another maybe 15 minutes. The Imam says at this point, بِكَ عَرَفْتُكَ وَأَنْتَ دَلَلْتَنِي عَلَيْكَ وَدَعَوْتَنِي إِلَيْكَ. This is, it's an amazing part of the dua. He says, I learned about you and I got to know you through yourself. I want to draw a comparison between this and something in dua communica to kind of understand this. There's a part of the dua towards the beginning where the Imam says, وَأَسْتَشْفِعُ بِكَ إِلَى نَفْسِكَ. Shifa'a is where you have three people. Okay. The person who deserves punishment, the person who has the right over the one who deserves punishment, and a third party that is going to intervene. But in that dua, it says, أَسْتَشْفِعُ بِكَ إِلَى نَفْسِي. There is, I want you to intervene for me, for yourself. You have the right over me. I have disrespected you, but there is nobody else in that. Even the Ahlul Bayt, they're the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm asking you to intervene for me, for yourself. Here the Imam says, it's through you that I have come to know you. There is no intermediary. وَأَنْتَ دَلَلْتَنِي عَلَيْكَ. You showed me the signs. وَدَعَوْتَنِي إِلَيْكَ. And you called me towards yourself. وَلَوْلَا أَنْتَ لَمْ أَدْرِ مَا أَنْتَ. And if it wasn't for you, I would have never known who you are. The wording of it, as I said, is a very personal touch to it. And looking at myself, constantly reminding, I'm the one that needs, I'm the one that doesn't have, and you've been so nice and so great to me. And that's why from here on, the Imam starts with praises, Alhamdulillah. And he starts with this, Alhamdulillah alladhi أَدْعُوهُ فَيُجِيبُنِي. He said, if it wasn't for you, I would have never known you. So all praise is to the God that أَدْعُوهُ, I, with all of what I have done, I call Him فَيُجِيبُنِي, and He answers me. وَإِنْ كُنْتُ بَطِيئًا حِينَ يَدْعُونِ. Although when he called me, I was very slow in responding to that. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَسْأَلُهُ فَيُؤْتِينِي وَإِنْ كُنْتُ بَخِيلًا حِينَ يَسْتَقْرِضُنِي. All praise is to God that asked when I asked Him to give me, He gave me. Although I was very stingy when it came to Him, to ask me, He doesn't say that He asked me to give. He says, يَسْتَقْرِضُنِي. He asked me to lend Him something. Because we know, whatever you give in the way of Allah, Allah gives you twice as much, if not more. So you're just giving it away for a short period of time, you might get it back. I'm not even giving it away. Okay. And when you look at it even deeper, it's not even mine, it's God's. Something He has given me, He's asked me to give, I'm stingy, I don't want to give that, even for a short period of time. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أُنَادِيهِ كُلَّمَا شِئْتُ لِحَاجَتِي وَأَخْلُو بِهِ حَيْثُ شِئْتُ لِسِرِّي بِغَيْرِ شَفِيعٍ فَيَقْضِي لِي حَاجَتِي. All praise is to Allah that any time I wish for my need, I can call Him. وَأَخْلُو بِهِ حَيْثُ شِئْتُ لِسِرِّي. Anytime I want some private time with Him and talk to Him without anybody else knowing what I want to say to Him, I can do that. I can have my own private time. بِغَيْرِ شَفِيعٍ. Without any intermediary. In other words, it is again bringing to mind, look at me and God. Who am I to be able to speak to God? Who is this nobody that's not worth anything to speak to God? But God is so merciful and so blessing that when I want to go to Him, I can go to Him without any shafi'ah. I can speak to Him directly. فَيَغْفِرْ لِي حَاجَتِي. And He gives me what I needed when I requested it. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَا أَدْعُو غَيْرَهِ وَلَوْ دَعَوْتُ غَيْرَهُ لَمْ يَسْتَجِبْ لِي دُعَائِي. Again, tawheed, it's all over the dua. So all praise is to God that I call Him and request Him, and I don't request anybody but Him. And if I were to ask anybody but Him, لَمْ يَسْتَجِبْ لِي دُعَائِي. They wouldn't give me my request and grant me my request. Again, tawheed. Brothers and sisters, the fact is, if you independently ask anyone anything, okay, seek anything from anywhere, independently, that's disrespecting God and not acknowledging that it's God that's providing it for you and I. If I request for even a cup of water, independently, neglecting that this God, this water, the temperature of it, the glass that contains it, the person who brings it, me being able to drink it, the enjoyment that I feel, all of that is God's. If I don't realize this, then there's something wrong with my understanding of God. And that's why, in reality, if I ask anybody else but God, they're not going to give it to me. Even when they give me, they're not giving. God is giving. Okay. And He is that merciful that although I didn't ask Him, He's using what He has to give to me. Okay. What's the time?
25 to 30.
والحمد لله الذي لا أرجو غيره ولو رجوت غيره لأخلف رجائي. Again, tawheed. It says all praise I did emphasize on this all praise part, which we find it in the Holy Quran as well. Surah Al-Fatiha starts after this, Alhamdulillah, all praise. This praise in and of itself, okay, regardless of what type of praise it is, praise just belongs to God. Nobody else deserves praise. Nobody deserves praise. If you think anybody in this world, okay, the best of real examples of anybody deserving praise that we would think would be the Ahlul Bayt, but even they don't deserve it in and of themselves, independent of God. All of what they have is God's giving. Okay. So for that, you need to praise God, nobody else, independently. So this part it says, Alhamdulillah alladhi arju la arju ghayrah. This is the way the Imam is. We need to start feeling like he says, there's a time that we say, I have hope in God. Okay. We acknowledge that I do have hope in God. This is one thing. And that may be combined with me feeling internally hope in other people helping me. And this is the case for, I think, 99.99% of us. Okay. I try to keep that hope of God giving me in hardship, but I am constantly working and worried about, is that person going to give it to me or not? I hope that this person is going to be able to help me out. We always have this hope towards others. And we try to kind of manage to force that hope in God in that affair as well. We try to fit it in. This is a form of shirk. The Imam says, all praise to Allah that I don't hope in anyone, I don't have hope in anyone except for Him. And the fact is, he says, if I were to have hope in anyone but God, they would لأخلف رجائي. They would go against my hope. They would disappoint me. If I were to have hope in anybody but God, they would disappoint. This is a fact, again, based on the concept of Tawheed. This part again gets a little touchy here. It says, وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي وَكَلَنِي إِلَيْهِ فَأَكْرَمَنِي. All praise is to the God that made me rely on Him. وَكَلَنِي إِلَيْهِ. The God that made me rely on Himself. Okay. وَلَمْ يَكِلْنِي. Oh, it doesn't get to that. فَأَكْرَمَنِي. Okay. He made me rely on Him and He was generous to me. He blessed me. وَلَمْ يَكِلْنِي إِلَى النَّاسِ فَيُهِينُونِي. And He didn't make me rely on people so that they would put me down and disrespect me and belittle me. Whenever we do that, okay, there's this idea that God, okay, has not made us rely on people. Okay, we don't actually depend on anyone but God. This is a fact. Okay, but we choose not to relay, put our trust in God and rely on Him. Instead, we have our trust with the people. When we do that, those people belittle us. Every time you go and, you know, you would want to request something from someone without you giving something in return. I don't have anything to give in return, but I need this help. Can you go to anyone and ask them? Unless they are connected to God, they're not going to do that for you. Okay? They'll put you down. He made me rely on Himself. He didn't allow me to rely, to have to depend on the people so that they would believe me. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي تَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْهِ وَهُوَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِّي. all praise is to the God that He تحبب إلي. He wanted me to like Him. Whereas He was independent and needless of me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any human being. None of the creation He needs. But yet, He wants this relationship of love to be there. Okay. It's like, if I want to give an example just to... So we can understand this, okay, to an extent. I don't know if you've been in the presence of some of the ulama, okay, some of the spiritual teachers, guides, or whatever you want to call them. Let's take the example of Ayatollah Bajet. This is that it's really not even comparable whatsoever to this, but just so we can have a tangible example for those who've been in this type of an atmosphere. I'll give an example that I think is good, okay? Because I could give examples that are more common maybe in the West and like movie stars and things like that, but it'll change the whole atmosphere of our discussion. No, a spiritual person, let's just take like Ayatollah Bajet, for example. If I were to go and want to go to Ayatollah Bajet, okay, and seek his help in... I would be interested in... you know, I have this love in me towards him. I would want to be around him, and I would like him to just, you know, look at me even. Right? Just one little look there, and a smile that, you know, I know you're there. Okay? That's something that if you're interested in that type of stuff, you're really looking for that. So I'm the nobody here. I want to go there, and I wish that he just, you know, turns towards me and just a smile, a salam, and that's just enough for me. If, in this case, in the same example, if Ayatollah Bajet would want me to like him, how would that work? Okay, so nobody is, you know, is full of sins and, you know, this is not really, you've told them 50 times you need to do your wajibah, stay away from muharramat and all of that. They're not doing any of that. He would want me to be with him, come close to me. How would that feel? Okay. It says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe, who is needless of all creations, and I am this really, this disgusting spot of filth that is full of all the disrespects and disobedience I haven't listened to him. He's told me to do this 50 times and I haven't done it. I keep disrespecting him. He wants me to come close and be. He wants to love me and he wants me to love him. I think I'll leave it for that. Inshallah, we'll try to continue, maybe the continuation of this, or I may choose a different passage of the dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of one of the most noble of his creation, Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, her father, the most noble of the creations, the Holy Prophet, her husband, the next most, Amir al-Mu'minin, salamullah alayhi, and her children, progeny, the Imams, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of these creations that He clears our hearts from the veils that we have put over our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us deeper knowledge of Himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of His close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all of the Imam, especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free all of the mu'mineen, mu'minat of oppression and hardship. We ask Him to forgive us all of our sins and our parents of their sins, all those who have taught us the word in Islam of their sins, inshaAllah. Bin Nabiya wa Ali rahimahullah. Al-Fatiha ta'ala as-salawat.